Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Let There Be Talk. Today is December 8th, another lovely Monday. And this episode is brought to you by my rock and roll friends, Earthquaker Devices. If you play guitar, bass, keyboards, whatever, you need some foot pedals. You want to sound badass? You want to be like Radiohead? You want to be like Radiohead? You want to be fucking outlaw? Jack White style? You got to get some foot pedals. You can't just plug into an amp, turn on 10, fucking blow your ears out, and the neighbors call the cops. You got to get some stomp boxes, rock out in your apartment. Check out earthquakerdevices.com. All their foot pedals are handmade boutique pedals out there in what I call Devo, Ohio. Yeah, Devo, Ohio. That's what I renamed the state that they're from, because they're from where Devo's from. So for now on, it's Devo, Ohio. Earthquake Devices, one of my favorite people. They're coming up on a 1 year of sponsoring Let There Be Talk. I'm about to rock out with them at the NAMM show in January. Can't wait to see their new pedals. Check them out. All my friends use them. Juan Altoretti's rocking them. You know him, of course, from the Mars Volta. Check out, you need some pedals. Maybe some distortion. Some delay. You need some phase. They got it all. Check them. I love the names, too. Hoof Reaper. The Hoof Reaper. I'm waiting for the Delray pedal. Just plug it in and it fucking melts down. Delray pedal. Check them. EarthquakerDevices.com. The best guitar pedals in the market. Hit them up. Tell them I sent you. Go to their website, earthquakers.com. Follow them on Twitter. Thank you, guys. Love you guys over there. Also, one more sponsor, the Mighty Catatonic Graphics, kings of my stickers. You've been seeing the new stickers? Catatonic.com, CADATONIC.com. You need some stickers for your business, your punk rock band, or your whatever, you're a comedian, or you just want stickers and fucking rock them around town, stick them on stop signs, whatever you want to do. They've got your needs for some serious anarchy. Hit them up. They're also having a Delrazer contest right now. Whoever wins it gets 1,000 stickers, whatever your design is. They're going to do a 1,000 custom vinyl sticker giveaway. Just tell them you're a Delrazer. Go and click on the contest and hit it up. I love these guys. They do all my stickers. They're fast, they're pro, and they've got like some good art eye. They're not just the old blah, like, yeah, we'll just do this, man, and get your money. No, man, they're fucking good. And Christmas is coming up. Hand sketch something on a napkin, and they'll 3D print it into a toy for you. How badass is that? You got some kids or something? You want to make them a special toy? Maybe they lost a tooth. You can have that thing copied. They get their tooth, a toy of their tooth, whatever. Go check out their 3D prints. That's pretty badass. So anyway, thanks for your sponsorship, Catatonic. You guys rock, and I love my stickers. All right, today's episode, we get down into it here. My good friend Ari Manis shows up. Ari Manis, hardworking fucking comedian. He also has an incredible website called Stand Up Talk. I think it's standuptalk.com. It's awesome. I was featured on it years ago. He has an amazing podcast, and he's just a great dude, a good friend, a solid, positive dude. One of those guys, every time you see him, you can lay down some funny-ass conversations with him. Not lay down with him. That would be weird. You could lay down with him. But he's funny, man. He talks about skateboarding across America. He's going to get naked in the woods for a month. You'll hear about that. But most important, tons of people love this podcast. And without you guys, I would be nowhere. So we're going to talk about how I started the podcast and how you could start your own podcast. This is an episode on how to do podcasting from the ground up. And Ari's a great dude. He knows a lot of shit about this. And I just kind of wing it and ask him questions here and there when I'm out and about. But if you ever wanted to start a website, podcast, online magazine, whatever, this guy's done them all. And he's only like 25. The guy's a fucking fierce go-getter. Reminds me a lot of Brian Redband. Fuck the industry. Doing my own shit. You'll find me later. That's how you fucking conquer. You make your shit so good that eventually they come around and then you are in control. So, you know, don't wait for somebody else to do your podcast or, you know, I can't do it. I don't know. You can't. I didn't know. YouTube videos Ari has up and this podcast, and you'll be up and fucking running. And by the way, I thank all of you guys for tuning into this thing, man. It's starting to get bigger and bigger, and it feels great. You guys love the Red Band episode and the AC/DC episode. That was fucking cool. I'm going to do some more record reviews in the future. I enjoyed doing it. It was easy to do, and it's fun, and I like the feedback I got on Twitter from you guys telling me what your favorite AC/DC songs are. A couple things this week. If you live in Hollywood, I'm going to be at UCB. That's a rare thing for the Delray. The Delray. I love UCB. It's fucking 2 feet from my house. I wish I could perform there every night. I'll be there on December 11th, 8 p.m. with Christian Spicer. You remember he was a guest on here. If you didn't hear it, go listen to his episode. Great guy. 8 o'clock, UCB Hollywood. Also, I'm really fired up about this. I'm going to be doing a live podcast. I'll be a guest on Joey Diaz's live podcast at Long Beach, December 17th. Get your tickets now. We're going to be doing a Christmas rock show live podcast. I love it. Joey Diaz, everybody that heard me on there, fucking great, man. And then, what else? Oh, let's talk. I just got home from Indianapolis, Crackers with Russell Peters. 21 degrees out there, but the crowds were amazing and fire. And that winds up my run with Russell Peters, which is always a weird downer. You get up onto the machine, you're out working, you're loving it, having a good time, and then it ends. You got to step off the fun train and walk back into reality. But all good. What a great month with Russell Peters. I can't thank the guy enough. And if you're out there in America and he comes through, go see him. He's at Madison Square Garden this week. How about that? Who the fuck headlines Madison Square Garden? Go see him Thursday night in New York City, man. The guy rocks. That is going to be fire. MSG, man. Can you imagine playing that? Madison Square Garden just coming out there. God, so cool. The guy earned it. He's funny. Works his ass off and his crew. Everybody, Eddie and Spinny DJ Spin Bad. Great group of guys. And thanks to everybody that came and came out and saw the shows at Crackers. Awesome. Hope to get back to Indy again. While I was out in Indy, I got into a conversation with Russell. We were talking about, I was talking about why I thought rock shows weren't wild anymore. I do a pretty long, extensive bit about rock's not dangerous anymore. But really, I finally figured out in my head why rock concerts just suck now. And it's mostly, this is why I like doing comedy. People go, well, what do you like better, doing rock shows or comedy? And back in the day when I was doing rock shows, there's fucking nothing like it. You come out full volume, rocking, the crowd's up in there, they're getting way the fuck into it, and it's just this magic hour and a half or so you share with people, and then you go to another city. And that's what comedy is to me now. It's just incredible. And the reason it's so good, comedy, is, and concerts suck, is concerts, everybody's texting and filming and shit. They're not engaged in the show anymore. There's no rocking. There's no spontaneous fucking, whoa, yeah. You know, there's none of that. Because they're so busy getting the selfie and the fucking video and the, you know, the Instagram. Look, I'm guilty of it too. But I've seen the bands 2-3 times. If it was a band I'm seeing the first time, the phone's in my fucking pocket. When I went to go see St. Paul and the Broken Bones, my phone was not out filming the set. I was sitting there with my jaw on the fucking ground as the singer was destroying with some of the best vocals I've heard in 20 years. So I wasn't just sitting there going, look, I'm at the show. So that's the difference. You're not allowed to text and fucking tweet and film at a comedy show. Although people do it, but it's not the entire room at the same time. You know, they're engaged. They're listening to the jokes. They're laughing. It's fucking, we're sharing our moment, as cheesy as that sounds. That's what we're fucking doing. You know, so that's why comedy feels like rock to me. And I realized it this weekend at Crackers as these crowds were fucking insanely hot. You know, and I was like, wow, that I'll put that right up there with any rock shows I've ever done. It was monumental. The last month with Russell, just these theaters, wherever we're at, you realize people are here to laugh and engage into the event. So if you're at a concert, fucking put your phone away, man. You know what I mean? I go to the movies, I leave the phone in my motorcycle. You know, it's just like, it's 2 hours of your life. 2 fucking hours. Man, try to go a whole day without the phone. I can't do it because of business, but man, I could do it if I wasn't a stand-up. Yeah, I've rode across country with the bike, the phone off in the saddlebag. But look, I'm not saying I'm fucking superior. I'm guilty as fuck. I get bored. I get it. Start looking at the phone like, what's everyone else doing? It's stupid. So fifth grade, right? Anyway, I'm just sharing that with you because I finally realized the difference of why I love comedy so much now. Because it reminds me of 20 years ago when I was first playing rock. 2025, you know, years ago. It's just, there was no phones. It was just fucking a Heineken and Marshall amps and fucking rock. Anyway, that's my two cents. I hope you enjoy Ari Manis. The guy's a pure soul, man. And all of you, I love you guys. Thanks for your donations. If you want to donate to the podcast, hit me at DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. Every nickel helps, and I'll send you some Del Razor stickers and a little care package. DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. And also, keep the reviews going on iTunes. And spread the word. Candles are lit. Ari Manis. Hey, here we are, another episode of Let There Be Talk. This is a special episode today. I got a good friend of mine stopping by, Ari Manis. How are you, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we, I mean, among other things, we're mostly going to talk about if you want to, if you ever wanted to start a podcast.
Yeah, I seem to be the guy people go to for that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I didn't go to you. I went to Ari. And
the other Ari.
Yeah, Ari.
The big
Shaffir,
Ari.
Yeah.
The top Ari.
Yeah, you might have to change your name at comedy, right?
It's funny. You're the second person that told me that. When I first moved out here, I don't know if you know Macala.
Yeah.
She worked at Laugh Step. She goes, you need to change your name. I'm like, I think there's room for more than one Ari.
Well, before Ari Shaffir, it was Ari Gold, right?
There you go.
Entourage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the of course, the reason I wanted to do this episode is, you know, I discovered podcasting, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago. You know, I didn't, at first I didn't listen to them because I thought the name was dumb. Podcast, that sounds stupid.
When podcasting first came out, and it was mostly, I don't think there were any comedy podcasts at the time. It was all technology-based podcasts because the only people who knew how to work them were just tech nerds.
Yeah, I was talking to Red Band about that.
Yeah, and during that time, people, a lot of people refused to call them podcasts because podcast is a name developed by Apple.
Oh, really?
And there were a lot of anti-Apple people. So there was the same exact thing as podcasting, but it was just with a standard RSS feed, and people would call them just online radio and all sorts of other names. But now people have just accepted the fact that it's Apple.
Well, I didn't like to call them podcasts because when you're first starting out and you're getting, like me, I'm getting older rocker guests, it might not sound like it had any prestige or anything to an older rocker. Like, so if you said, hey, you want to do my radio show?
Right.
They'd be like, yeah, what's it on? KLOS? What? It's online radio. You know
what I mean? We do it out of where I live. And
yeah. But now everyone knows what podcasting is.
Or, you know, it's funny you say that. I actually think that even though podcasting is a lot more popular now, most people still don't,
or
they've heard of it.
I'm saying people in the industry.
When
you're in middle America, people still say stuff like, yeah, I don't do any of that twatter stuff or cast botting.
I still think that it's going to get so much more popular, the podcast following is just going to increase.
I said the same thing. I was in New York 2 years ago, and I couldn't believe none of the comics had podcasts there, and I was like, wow. Like, it seemed like a West Coast thing, you know? And I kept thinking, whoever the East Coast guys are that start podcasting right away are going to start killing.
Yeah.
Because there's a wide-open market of guests out there that no one's grabbing.
Totally, you know? And I think they're starting to do it over there, too.
Yeah, and I was talking to a few of my buddies, like Hispanic guys, and I'm like, you got to get in on this. Whoever the king of the Hispanic podcast or urban podcast.
That's true, yeah.
Because once they start really killing it, that you know, there's like global markets.
Yeah,
you know?
There's so many different demographics. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can really get into it. It's definitely on the ground floor right now.
Totally.
Even though it's like a lot of years in.
Absolutely.
It's still growing. My introduction, of course, was to Marin's. It's still the number one podcast I listen to.
Yeah, WTF.
And then Joe Rogan's, you know?
Yeah, both top.
But I ignored podcasts forever, but then I was a huge CK fan, and somebody said, oh, Louis CK was on Marin's podcast. You got to hear that. And then, boom, I was fucking hooked. Robin Williams won, and then I get into all his episodes, you know?
There was even a brief moment in time where Louis C.K. had a podcast.
Really?
It wasn't audio. He would post, like, video clips, but you subscribe to it on iTunes in the podcast section. I think it's since been removed, but this was before I think he even had the show Louis on HBO.
Right.
I remember just watching little clips of him with a camcorder.
Oh, somebody was posted something about that split side or something. I remember, and they said they were genius.
Yeah, they were hilarious.
Yeah, he would go. There was one or whatever where he just went on and started taking calls or whatever.
Oh, that was on satellite radio.
Yeah,
he
that's
went on.
Right.
Yeah,
he was in between jobs and he pitched a show to satellite radio.
Oh,
he picked it up
or,
and he didn't know what the show was.
Right? No, or they said, we want you to do a show on satellite. Like, at least try one. He's like, well, I have no ideas for it. And they're like, just try one. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go on there and do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And he just figured it out as
but
he went.
But it was like a crushing episode.
Oh,
like,
it was hilarious.
People were calling in and stuff, and he was giving, like, sex advice.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours long or something crazy like that. And I was listening to it, and 40 minutes in, someone calls, and they're like, so I'm a big fan and you're funny. This whole thing's hilarious, but are you going to do anything on this? And he's like, no, probably not. But he ends up just taking calls.
Yeah. So that got me in on it. And then of course I was like, well, I got to do a podcast. How did you get started on it?
I listened to podcasting even before I was into comedy.
Yeah.
So I was a tech nerd, and I was listening to a podcast called This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte. I don't know if you've heard of him. He has a radio show about technology on KFI.
Is it like a CNET podcast?
Kind
though?
Of. It's even nerdier than CNET.
Wow.
He goes really in-depth on hardware he uses and computers. So I was listening to it way back then.
Like, how old were you?
I must have been 13, 14
well,
years
how old
are you I'm
now?
25 now.
25
so this was
now.
over 10 plus years ago,
and,
probably.
And where'd you grow up?
San Diego.
San Diego. So you're just like a computer nerd.
I'm just a computer nerd. a loner, kind of just in my apartment or in my parents' house and my apartment when I moved out, and just listening to these technology podcasts. And then I think I first heard about it again when Marin's got popular.
Right.
And then I started listening to that, and then I started listening to Fitzdog, Greg Fitzsimmons, and Joe Rogan's,
right,
and a whole bunch of others. And there's kind of just been this rebirth of podcasting.
Right, yeah, oh yeah.
And I figured out it was pretty easy to do. All it really was you get an audio file, you make it into an RSS feed, and you submit that RSS feed to iTunes and to all the other podcast websites, and you, right, had it on there.
Well, a lot of people are going like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, RSS feed.
Right.
So we'll break down into that in a few minutes. I think the key thing, if you're going to do a podcast out there, there's two things. Either you're just doing it for fun,
right,
which is cool,
mm-hmm,
or you want to do it. A lot of people go like, hey, man, how do I start making money and getting like a big podcast and stuff? And it's like comedy or anything else.
You can't do it for that.
I already said you're out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Quit looking for get-rich-quick schemes.
Right. I mean, number one, like we said, podcasting is still, even though it's a lot more popular now, it's still in the phase where it's not an easy thing to make money on. It's maybe the top podcasts are making serious money, but even the ones in the lower top 200 podcasts aren't making real money.
I'm in the top 200,
yeah,
like pretty much every week now, and there's no money unless somebody donates to my,
right,
podcast.
Yeah, someone donates, or I just, on my podcast, which isn't even the top 200, I just got my first sponsor, and now I'm making $50 a month, which is better. It's paying for the hosting bills.
That's right.
But
right,
but I'm not doing, you know, you can't do it for that. Like you said, it's like
so
anything.
Dumb.
You have to have a passion for
first
it.
First of all, the amount of work I put into this fucking thing, it wouldn't even matter how much money you make. You'd be like, man, I'm still, you know, you're busting,
right,
your ass.
Right.
So you have to love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what kind of podcast people dream of doing, because, of course, all the comedy ones, there's just millions. You got to.
So many.
The key thing, I think, the way I looked at it was, I'm going to go at it as what I know and love.
Right.
Then if other people grasp onto it, it's great. So my love is music, movies, and comedy.
Yeah, and with that, it's interesting because you'll see a lot of podcasts start up from people who just want to start a podcast, and they don't really know what to do it on. And then because
no vision,
they don't,
yeah,
love it,
yeah,
and it's kind of they don't have a direction with it, or they think, oh, this is a unique topic, but they're not really into it, you'll notice they'll do a few episodes, and then they won't post them anymore. A lot of podcasts start and die,
yeah, they
very
do,
fast.
Yeah. You got to think, like, that's what I was saying. The number one rule is figure out, there's no rules, but I'm saying, right, figure out what you want to do. Is it just a hobby, or do you want to get up and going? Because I'll tell you, when I did this, the first thing you have to do, and it's the only thing that really matters on podcasting, is being every week dropping that episode.
I would say that. And the other thing that really, consistency is obviously important.
Yep.
But the thing that bothers me even more is when you see people going on there with, like we said, no direction. So I've heard a lot of first episodes of people going, so what should we do the podcast about?
Yeah.
Or what should we call this?
Yeah.
Or they'll do it on their iPhone, and they think that someone's going to listen to 2 hours of terrible audio quality every week. And it's like, you need to take this seriously. Get a microphone.
Yeah,
we'll
get into, yeah, the equipment in a few minutes. But yeah, you got to understand, most people are listening to podcasts at work or commuting with headphones on.
Right.
Headphones are not forgiving.
No.
I've had guests on that maybe ate something and it's real low, but with headphones, it's like,
right.
And the guys will email me like, tell that guy to quit eating.
Yeah.
You know, I've had episodes where, you know, there was some an AC in the hotel room,
yeah,
I didn't even know was going.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm interviewing the guy, and then you put the headphones on, it's like,
yeah, almost everything. It just picks up,
yeah,
things you don't want it to. You'll hear yourself breathing or doing a lip smack.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All,
yeah,
these weird little
that's
things.
That's why I've got, yeah, these socks on the mic,
right,
now, because I would hear a lot of pee pops and stuff.
Right.
So it's really a thing you have to sit down and think if you really want to do it. Because what I'm going to tell you is, I just helped Ruben Paul out. The gear that I use is going to run you $710.
Yeah. About. Yeah. I tell people too, if you're doing audio only with two mics to start with, yeah, you're looking at least over $500.
Yeah. $700 for great shit. Now, if you listen to my podcast and you like how it sounds, that costs about $700 for the equipment. And the equipment, there's all kinds of ways to do it out there. You can, you know, people try it on their iPhones.
Right. That's
people use those audio recorders, like for meetings. Like I did one with Florentine, and he used just like a
Voice recorder.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was interested.
Did it sound good?
It sounded okay,
but we
had to be really close.
Right.
And you can't fuck around.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of different things. I would say at the minimum, if you're looking to start a podcast and you are poor, but you are passionate about something, get at least one high quality microphone. Even putting that, if it's a condenser microphone, it could be a USB mic, and putting it in between two people, that's going to be leaps and bounds better than using your internal laptop microphone or your cell phone. But ideally, you want a microphone for each guest.
Absolutely.
And then it gets complicated because you think, oh, I already have a USB mic. I'll get a second USB mic. You can't do that. You can't use two USB mics.
So at that point, of phantom power.
Right. So at that point, you either need to get a mixer that plugs in via USB to your computer, or an audio field recorder, such as the Zoom H4N, which I don't know if your listeners know, currently uses.
The Zoom H4N and the new H4.6, then you said H6.
H5 and H6.
Right. Those are the absolute bulletproof industry standard of podcasting.
I would say, they're definitely the most popular, especially with independent artists. Once you get up to, you know, high quality sound studios, they don't really use Zooms. There's also Tascam, which is a competitor against Zoom, and those are very good. So I would say if you get a Tascam Zoom,
and these are all digital recorders, no tape, they're all right onto a card.
So they start with two XLR inputs. XLR is what the microphones plug in with,
and they're phantom powered, so you don't need a mixing board if you're running two guys.
So the easiest way is probably to get a Zoom or a Tascam field recorder with two XLR inputs if you're starting with two mics, and that costs anywhere from $200 to $300 for one of those recorders. Then you have to get the XLR cable for each mic and a microphone.
Yeah, cables are about $20. Then the mics are $80 a piece at Guitar Center.
And here's a little trick I found actually to save money on microphones. Because most people use the standard Shure SM58. Those are microphones you've seen. Even if you don't know the industry or equipment, you've seen them. You've seen
them
at concerts.
Yeah,
concerts, comedy clubs. Everyone uses the Shure SM58. Now, there's an off-brand. Some people might not even like that I say this because they'll disagree. But there's an off-brand on Amazon called a Behringer XM8500. And these are about $25. And they look just like the Shures, and to me, they sound just like Shures. They're just an off-brand copycat.
$25, huh?
They're $25, and I've done comparison. I actually have it on my YouTube channel. There's a comparison video of me comparing one of them to the Shures. I can't really tell the difference.
Yeah. Because we're only doing voices.
Right.
You're not doing
instruments
singing
and stuff.
Yeah, and there's no other background sound. So, you know, there's a lot of great mics. And you got to watch out, too. Like, when you go to Guitar Center, they're always trying to upsell you. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, you got the SM58, but, you know, the much more superior sound of these Audio Technicas. And you're like, dude, I'm doing a podcast.
Right.
Ouch.
Right. Unless you're recording live music.
I'm not doing opera.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really all you need. Maybe get, like Dean said, get a foam cover that goes over the top of the microphone to take out some of the pops.
Yeah, that's a must.
In your voice.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was shortchanging it for a long time without that.
Definitely that. Some people like to get headphones for you and your guests. So then you have to get a headphone splitter.
Yep.
And then if you're bumping up to more, let's say you had a co-host on your show, and then plus a guest. So then you need three mics. So then you have to get either a mixing board that plugs into your field recorder or get the Zoom H6 that has four XLR inputs.
That's the
and
one
that's $400.
That's the one I'm looking to get next. So Dell Razors, keep donating.
Yeah.
Because what you can do then is I bring my recorder on the road. We're talking about equipment too, guys. If you've never seen the gear, it's about all the gear is about the size of a fucking maybe, you know, two hands.
Yeah, you could fit
it's
a
so
whole
small.
Two-person, three-person podcasting mobile recording studio in a backpack.
It's incredible, man, because I bring it on the road. So before I have the H4 now, and you can't run three mics on it. You can, but I'll tell you what goes down. And Ari Shafir showed me this, but you can get a splitter and run right. another one out. But there's not enough power, phantom power, to run the mics, so the other mic will be low.
Right.
It's a low signal, and then one guy sounds like he's all fucking low.
They even make a patch cable to go through. There's like a 3.5 millimeter as opposed to the XLR, so you could get a XLR to 3.5 millimeter and plug it in, but it becomes really convoluted, and at that point, it's if you're doing three mics, just jump up to either the mixing board or the H6.
Yeah, yeah.
It now, let me tell you.
We're talking some nerdy shit here, and if you listen to the podcast, you're going like, yeah, I don't understand any of this. Look, I played rock all my life. I understand equipment, music gear and stuff, but I had no idea how to... it's funny. I recorded in studios for years, but I always had an engineer, and I'd go in and record. Right. I never fucked with any of the stuff.
Yeah.
And then so when I started podcasting, I thought, oh, I got to get an assistant. I got to hire a guy. And I really was like dumb thinking.
Yeah.
I had a dude that would do all the stuff. I'd just give him the podcast like you do for Barry Katz.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was thinking it was really hard. Barry's super busy. He's not going to do it. But I'm right. saying to people out there, there's videos on YouTube. Let me tell you how I learned. In the back room of the Comedy Store, Ari Shafir came in, smoked a couple joints.
Yeah.
I had my equipment there. He sat down, and he told me in about 10 minutes, all right, man, you just plug your shit into here. Put the levels on. I go 45, right. 45 on the levels, and then this and that, and then dump it in there. And he's telling me really fast, and I'm going like, oh, God. I recorded it, though, on the recorder, what he was telling me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So I had it all. I had the lesson, the 10-minute lesson, and then it's all, you know, learning curve. You know, you just start
right.
doing it.
You'll realize things. You'll record one. You'll be like, oh, that was a little too loud.
Yeah.
Or, oh, that wasn't loud enough.
Or that's boring.
Or that's boring. Some people edit their podcasts a lot more. Once you're done recording, you bring it into your computer. You could cut things out if you want to. Some people don't. Some people just let it all flow out. They don't have time.
Right. Well, what happens is if you listen to podcasts, a lot of people listen to them. If there's no focus, you're going to get a lot of,
Oh, yeah. What else?
What else? Yeah. When you're getting that, you're
kind of
you're
like when a stand-up's trying new material and they're on stage, they're like, what else do I want to talk about?
Yeah,
they don't have
right.
a game plan. Yeah.
I think a really cool thing to do to practice some podcasts. So what you do is let's figure out what you're into. Let's say you're into 69 Camaros. Let's
yeah.
just say. Google 69 Camaro. And then just do a half-hour episode on everything about that car.
And you then know? Listen back and hate yourself.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
everyone hates the sound of their own voice.
Yeah, you got to get over that, too.
Yeah.
When I remember the first time I went in and sang in a studio, they do a thing called solo up the vocal. And it's got to be one of the most fucking scary moments ever. The band's playing... And then the engineer will be like, let's take a listen to the vocal real quick. Might be out of tune a little bit. And he'll solo it up.
Oh, my God.
There's no music. And all of a sudden, you'll be like, living easy, living free, season ticket on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're in there, and everyone's in the control room, and they're looking at you like, this guy sucks. You know what I mean?
And you feel that about yourself, too. You're like, I suck.
You really got to get over that right away. So
yeah.
get over the sound of your voice, you know, because who gives a
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, the more you do it, the less you'll care. But definitely, I've seen a lot of people record a podcast for fun just to get a feel for it. And they won't even release it most of the time. They'll be like, I'm going to just feeling it out. And then after a few goes, they'll be like, I like that one. Let's use that one as the first one.
Yeah, it really is a practice thing.
Yeah, you'll find yourself getting better at it.
I mean, Bill Burr does 1 hour every week of just him. And this week I did an AC/DC one of just me talking my love of AC/DC and stuff. And I'll tell you one thing. You got to have fucking notes out and stuff because you
totally.
Start fucking rifling through. And after 10 minutes, you're like, oh, shit, I said everything. It's only been 10 minutes. You need to know what the fuck you're talking about. So if you're going to work, you know, do a podcast on a subject, have it all out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like cheater notes, like, Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Highway to Hell did come out in 79 and Mutt Lang. You know, so, you know, so you're not going, hold on, let me look. I do that a lot. Like, I'll be online and then my computer's in sleep mode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's stupid.
All these pauses. And that's the other thing is there's so many podcasts now. There's thousands and thousands of podcasts. You should also make sure that no one else is doing your idea.
Yeah.
You might look up your podcast and there's five other people doing it. Not to say that they can't have competition, but you might want to listen and be like, oh, well, I can't do it as good as them, or, oh, I could do it way better.
Yeah, I think that if you really pick something you're into, like I love rock and roll and I love comedy.
Right.
I could talk fucking weeks and weeks and weeks on it. So I'm not going to run out.
Right.
So if you pick something that you think is popular, but you're not really into it that much, you're going to fuck yourself. Because you're just going to be like,
you can't do it for the clicks. You'll hear people say that too. Well, let's talk about this week. Let's talk about Kim Kardashian this week. Because how are you going to talk about something you don't give a shit about?
Yeah,
it's not going to be interesting.
It's not.
You might get more listens, but then they're going to listen and never listen to you again.
Now, also, I think maybe 90% of the podcasts are done in California. So I think interesting things would be, if you live in another state, you're listening to my podcast right now. Let's say you live in just Texas or something, or Oklahoma, or wherever you fucking live. You know, talk about a lot of shit where you're from, because that's also interesting to me. Like, oh, this guy's talking about like local, you know, spots where he hangs, maybe rock clubs, whatever, comedy clubs, what's going on in that town.
Yeah.
You know, because that's interesting too, because a lot of people don't travel.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh man, I might want to go check out fucking Scottsdale sometime.
Yeah, differentiate yourself. And then you find your listeners when they're in that town. They might email you, say, hey, let me take you out to lunch or whatever. You might meet some new people.
Exactly.
Might get a chick.
Another thing, don't get hung up on guests. People are like, well, I don't have any guests. And I've seen a lot of bad podcasts do this where they it comes the day to record it and they go, fuck, I don't have a guest, and they just grab anyone, the mailman or whatever, just to get an episode on. Don't do that. If you don't have a guest, either wait till you got a good guest or just do a solo episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, if you pull someone out there that's not interesting, it's going to come across.
I've seen it. I try a lot not to have the same guest as everybody else. But, of course, I have a lot of guests because we're
mutual friends.
Mutual friends.
There's a whole little podcast circuit, especially in the L.A. comedy scene, where people, you know, they hop around different podcasts to promote their book or their album or their show. Yeah. And
now, if you're going to have a guest on that everyone else has had on, listen to the other episodes and then talk to this guy about totally different shit.
Right.
Because I'll be
something
on people's
different
podcasts. And when I go on, I go, look, let's not cover this stuff.
I've told this story 100 times. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
totally.
Let's make yours unique. I'm fucking 48. I've got a lot of stories. So let's tap into other ones. You know what I mean? So listen to the other people and then ask different questions, you know? Because it's going to make for a fiery show instead of the guests going, okay, here comes that. Because they're not doing press junkets a lot of times.
Right.
If they're not promoting something.
The guests you have on, their fans might come check out your podcast.
Yeah, and they don't want to go, I already heard this stuff.
Yeah, if you're repeating all the same stuff, they're gonna leave. If you have new stuff, they're going to be like, oh, there's a good podcast. I'll check out some other episodes.
Exactly. So now, let's say you've recorded the podcast, you've bought your equipment.
What's the next step?
Well, there's a couple steps. Right. One of them is pick a name for the podcast.
Oh, I think you should even find the name before
absolutely
before you record the episode.
You're right
possible.
There. You're right there because you need to introduce it like, hey, welcome to Let There Be Talk.
Right.
Now, the reason I called it Let There Be Talk is I love AC/DC and it was going to be a talk show. So it was going to be either those about to talk or Let There Be Talk. And I also was going to be, I was going to have my own network for a while called the Dean Dell Radio. Good thing I didn't do that because Jonah Radio came later. It would have just been.
Well, there's a lot of podcast networks nowadays.
Yeah.
Like I have one, standuptalk.com, quick plug for that.
Hell
and then there's Nerdist. There's All Things Comedy,
which I'm on.
There's Earwolf, which is Comedy Bang Bang. And I'm sure there's countless others, which is cool.
Right.
It's showing how the industry is booming and people are trying to create businesses off of podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. We'll talk a little bit about networks. We're jumping forward, though. But a lot of people go, well, I want to be on a network. You don't need to be on a network. When I started, I thought I needed to be on a network. I was on a lousy network. They were taking all the advertising money.
Yeah, there's some downsides to networks sometimes.
Is.
Yeah.
And then I was, you know, bringing in these great guests. And the reason I thought I needed to be on a network, because I thought, I don't know how to do podcasting.
Right.
So that's just lazy out of me, which is fucking stupid. Once I learned it, I was angry at myself going, God, I'm dumb for not learning this right away.
Right. It's always better not to have to rely on somebody else.
Right. So. Now, the network I'm on, All Things Comedy, and is phenomenal. I don't know how the other networks work. I know Nerdist is fantastic. I've been over there a lot. They're great. I don't know any other networks, but ours works as a co-op.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
Everybody's on. And then everybody promotes everybody else's podcast,
right?
Has each other on, and it's just like a compound.
It's right. It's more like a collective in the sense that there's no one from All Things Comedy here recording this. It's still your podcast.
We all do our own thing. They don't tell us what to do or anything. It's Bill Burr and El Magical,
right.
And they just have a website for us to have our stuff, and we all, and then once in a while, we'll all do live podcasts together or whatever, and it feels great. It's a community, you know?
And that's cool, and it has a lot less restriction on you as the artist, and it's just, it's a nice little way to promote each other.
But don't get hung up on being on a network. Of course, if you
don't
live
need
in
it.
Like, if you live in Cleveland, there's no network. You do your own podcast.
Yeah, and if you're a nobody, to put it bluntly, if you don't have a following, networks aren't going to want you. So there's no point in trying to get on them and wasting your time putting energy into that. Instead, put your energy into getting a following, and then these networks are going to be approaching you.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying, hey, we'd love to have you on our network.
And let me tell you one thing. If you are a nobody, I was a nobody. I still am a nobody. But in the podcast world, when I was putting these episodes out, and I'll let you guys know this right now, everybody's like, how many listeners do you have and stuff? For a good 6 months, it went like first week, 2 people.
Yeah.
Because you can see the numbers. We're going to talk about host and podcast in a minute. But you can see the numbers. It would be like 2 people. Then a week would go by, it'd be 39 people.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, 39 people. And you get excited, man. And then, you know, then it was like 75 people.
Right.
Then I had a guest on, Rex Brown from Pantera. It was 10,000 in 1 day, you know, and you're going like, whoa.
Yeah.
10,000 in a day.
Right.
And it builds and builds. And now it's fucking rocking. And I thank God the people that tune in love it. And they keep telling people, but don't think, oh, I got a podcast, nobody's going to listen to it. That's not true. If you pick something that you really like and it clicks with people, they start listening.
Yeah.
And you got to also have a good, world in Twitter and Facebook and stuff so you can place this shit.
It helps if you get if something on the subject post about. So if you're doing, for example, a comedy podcast and comedy websites then post about your podcast, you know, you submit to those news websites related things to your
Absolutely.
Field.
What I do is, let's say I have Chris Goss on from Masters of Reality. Then I go to chat boards where they love Caius, Queens of the Stone Age. They love Foo Fighters. They love whatever. And I post on, hey, I had Chris Goss on my podcast.
Yeah.
You have to go out and mine this shit online.
Absolutely.
And put up what I would call digital flyers.
Yeah.
Which are, hey man, Chris Goss stopped by today.
Yeah.
And this is just free and easy way of people finding your podcast. Let's say you're doing it on cigars. You find cigar podcast websites and chat boards and go, hey man, I do a cigar podcast. And people will come.
Right.
They do, man. They're other nerds. Like, I love Rolex watches. I could easily do a podcast on watches.
And then it's easy to get sponsors that way, too.
It is.
Because you're doing a watch show, so all these watch companies are going to want to sponsor
the podcast. Like, hey, man, can you give us a shout-out? So you got to think outside the box, you know. I think pretty much the comedy podcast is covered.
It's pretty heavily covered. There's right a lot now, of comedy podcasts.
Yeah, look. Hold on. I got that.
There's a lot of WTF juniors.
Yeah. WTF is fucking the best here.
Oh, it's amazing.
So just in the top 200, let's go through it a little bit in the comedy. Now, if you're on iTunes and you don't know, on the right corner, you can click. There's all categories of podcasts. So here's the categories. You got arts, business, comedy, education, games and hobbies, government, health, kids, music, news, religion, science, society, sports, technology, and TV. Out of all those, I'm going to say comedy and sports are probably covered.
you know? I mean, yeah. So if you're not really obsessed with comedy or a comedian, I would try and find something else to cover.
Yeah, and, you know, like, look, I don't know a lot of, in 2015, I vowed to learn Spanish. That's my goal. I'm going to quit candy and learn Spanish. So, education. Right, Rosetta Stone. But I think there would be a cool podcast.
Teach
a language.
That'd be fucking great, right?
So, yeah. Each week, you're tuning in and you're learning language from somebody. So, there's an idea for you. Let's talk about the Ari just hit me. Oh, okay. So let's talk about the here's the comedy ones. Of course, we got Nerdist is huge. Joe Rogan, WTF, Bill Burr. These are always in the top five. And Carolla. Those are all. And then Pete Holmes.
Yeah, if you have a built-in following.
Yeah.
You'll see a new podcast come out by someone who has a following, and it'll instantly be one of the top podcasts.
Top five, yeah.
Because it's all about how many downloads you're getting. It's hard to get in the top 200 as an unknown. Not impossible. There's actually, every week you'll see a few.
Yeah, it really is hard because I tell you, I've been doing it. Let's see, I'm on my 127th episode this week, and I did 50 on the other network. So about 175. I've been in the top 200 three times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when it happened, I couldn't fucking believe it.
It's awesome, man. From being in the top 200, you get a lot of new subscribers.
You do, because people are like, what's this
podcast? Yeah, they check you out.
Yeah. So, you know, think outside the box as far as finding something, you know, that a topic like language, like I was saying, would be cool. Now,
once you have it, once it's all recorded, let's say you've found the name, you bought the equipment. I even made a little guide on Stand Up Talk where I said, if you're looking to start a podcast, here's what equipment to buy. It links to all
the
links. If you go to standuptalk.com and you search podcast, it'll come up how to start a podcast equipment, and it'll show you all the different ways to do it. Links to buy it, links to different products.
That's dope. And do you update it with like the H6 now?
Yeah. So I updated. It was the H4N, and then the H5 came out. And there really is a big difference. It's you should read up on these things and make sure you're reading an up-to-date article. Because, for example, the H4N, which is still a great device, but then you look at the H5, which is just the new and improved H4N. The preamps on it are way better. There's a lot of nifty features on it that you'll probably want to spend the extra $40 on if you're buying it right now.
And preamps are what make the voices sound warm. If you guys are wondering what that is, if you have a shitty machine, the voices are going to sound tinny and small.
Tinny and small. And sometimes, for example, on the H4N, you have to crank up the input gain on your mic. And then if you have a really good preamp, you notice you don't have to have it nearly as high. So you get less of that noise in the background.
Yeah, because the louder you turn up on the input, you're going to get the in the background. So now, here we go. You've recorded your practice podcast. You've got it. Now where are you going to go? There's different places you can put it up. There's free routes and there's pay routes. So
there's a few different things you could do. Most importantly, you're going to want to get it on a podcast host. And what that host does for you is that's storing your file, your podcast, on the internet where people could then download it off of that server. Now, if you already have a website, you can put it on your server, but the bandwidth adds up pretty fast.
It takes up all your fucking room on
your website.
Yeah, it
takes up room, and every time someone downloads it, it's using that bandwidth that you're paying for your website. So I don't advise someone to do that because it might work out fine the first five episodes. It might work out. You might have unlimited storage, one of those cheap hosts that gives you unlimited storage. But if your podcast became popular, that host is going to either charge you a shitload of money or shut you down. And then you have to re-find a new host. Your podcast is going to go down for weeks. Yeah. It causes a giant headache.
Absolutely.
So I would say you start off by finding a podcast host. Now, I have experience. There's tons of them out there. I have a lot of experience with two of them. This one's probably the most popular, Libsyn.
That's the one I use.
Libsyn is nice because you pay a monthly fee. They tell you exactly what you're getting. They have a statistics thing. It's very user-friendly. There's a new one I've been using that I actually like even more, and it's cheaper, and that is SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've probably heard of SoundCloud. They just started. I don't even know if it's fully open to the public yet.
Oh, they got a pay one now?
They have a pay one now where you pay, I think it's $12 a month.
Unlimited?
And you get unlimited.
Wow.
And it's for podcasting.
That's fucking great. I'm paying $50 right now.
Right. And that's the thing with Libsyn, as you get more popular, and depending on how much you release, the size, how long your episodes are, they cornered the market. Libsyn is really the go-to host.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're paying a little extra.
Well, they started $5 and you think, oh, right, that's good, but you run out of storage.
Right.
So I go 50 because I can release two a week and not run out of storage. Now, the reason I use Libsyn is it seems that the advertisers trust the numbers and that's what they go off of. Before, SoundCloud had a pay thing. If you gave them SoundCloud numbers, they just didn't care because they seemed
they don't care as much.
Yeah.
Because, if, for example, SoundCloud features my podcast, and you get so because it was featured, I have over 500,000 subscribers podcast. Now, the thing about SoundCloud is if you have 500,000 subscribers, that doesn't mean 500,000 people are listening to your podcast.
No, you can see in the right corner it says 29 listens.
Right.
So you're like, wait a minute.
That just means you're popping up in their SoundCloud feed, kind of like a Facebook feed. So not everyone's going to see it. So I still get a lot of listens from being featured on SoundCloud, but you're going to look at my podcast and see, whoa, 500,000 subscribers. This is the most popular podcast ever. No, it's not. Not that many people listen, but you can still plug in a third-party statistics thing to SoundCloud. So unless you're looking at advertisers that need Libsyn, I actually have been sending the new people to SoundCloud lately because you're saving money.
SoundCloud is super easy,
It's
man.
Easy, it's cheap, and the nice thing about it is you can link people to your SoundCloud or your iTunes or wherever.
Right.
So it's all in one.
So one good thing about Libsyn that I loved, which really fucking blows me back, is you can look at actual cities and countries where people are listening. I've got 45 people listening in South Africa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like South Africa. I had some guys a year ago. They said, we've been listening to your podcast for a year. We love it. We ride motorcycles. We're flying to New York. We're going to ride across country, and we're going to end in L.A., and we want to come see you do stand-up.
That's so cool.
I go, fuck yeah. They rode across the country, and a week before, they said, hey, man, we're almost there. I go, I'm at the Comedy Store on a Tuesday. I got you on the list. They rolled up, and I met these guys who I would never fucking know who listened to my show in South Africa.
That's wild.
And we hung out all night. We love rock and roll, and we love motorcycles. And it was just like, it was incredible, man. It was like that old school pirate radio.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like ham radio.
Internet's
just bringing it all together on a much bigger scale, and it's really awesome.
And I really trip out when you see stuff like Japan. Like, you know, I got guys listening there. I got guys in Iceland. You know, like, Iceland.
I've found a lot of people listening to mine are in the military. And so I'll get emails from people who are overseas, and they're like, hey, man, I have so much free time here where I do nothing but listen to podcasts. And they're just on their base all over the world listening to it.
Yeah, so you got to understand, people love podcasts, and if you can keep it going good – You're dealing with a world of people who do monotonous jobs, commuting or data entry, truck drivers, Ryan, Brian Redman and I were talking about truck drivers love them.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people who maybe just have whatever. They work at home.
Stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
So many things. Working out.
So, okay. So now you've got your podcast hosted. Let's say SoundCloud or Libsyn.
Or Libsyn. So then you take that feed that they give you. It's called an RSS feed. And this is actually the part that used to confuse people, because a lot of people think, oh, iTunes, that's where podcasts going. iTunes is the number one place for podcasting, but you could submit that feed to iTunes as well as a lot of other places.
Sketcher.
Stitcher.
Yeah.
So there's sites like Stitcher. There's just regular RSS readers. There's podcast apps for Android. The Xbox has their own podcast thing on it.
So does, what's the TV thing? DVR.
DVRs.
Yeah.
So there's all these other places and avenues where you could submit your podcast. So even though iTunes is great and is definitely the place where the most people go for podcasts, don't forget about those other ways, because I know plenty of people who are anti-Apple people. Yeah. Like, I don't use Apple products. I don't listen to things on iTunes.
Yeah, well, mine is on Libsyn, and then it's mirrored on all of them.
Right,
so Stitcher,
exactly.
So Stitcher grabs it, SoundCloud grabs it.
All from that feed,
that RSS feed. So you don't have to search them out. They'll just grab it.
Exactly. You know? So you don't need to upload. It's not like each time you upload an episode, you have to do it to all those places. You do it to your host, whether that be Libsyn, SoundCloud, or any other company, and that RSS feed sends it out to iTunes. That's why a lot of times too, you'll notice you'll submit an episode and won't go on iTunes for a few hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because iTunes only updates their feeds
once
a day or whatever.
That's why if you do it late at night, it'll go up quicker.
Right.
I find if you're going to post up a podcast, get it up Sunday night around midnight, so you've got the different time zones can have it on their commute.
Right.
You miss them, and then they go, oh, it wasn't there. And if you don't have consistency, people lose interest, and they move on to another podcast, and they go, here's one that is my friend. They're on all the time.
Right. Or you'll have some people who backlog your episodes because you don't put it out consistently, so they'll download because it's in their queue. So they'll have four of your episodes listened, but then in their head they're like, oh, I don't want to listen to four episodes right now. So then they'll just pick the one they want, or they'll delete them all or stop listening altogether because they get too far behind. So consistency can help you a lot.
Absolutely. Now, when did you start podcasting? You have a podcast.
I have a podcast. It's called Unlicensed Therapy. It's very new. I started producing podcasts basically when I first moved to LA.
Right. So you do one for Barry Katz, which is
I record his industry
successful.
Standard. It's and the nice thing about that is I didn't listen to it before I produced it, but I listened to it that week before I was about to go in and record it, and it was because he had already recorded three or four of them.
Right. With somebody else.
Yeah, with somebody else, and they were awesome.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was excited to go in and record this because I get to meet these people in the industry that I'd never normally would get to meet.
Yeah.
I get to meet Barry Katz. I get to hear all these amazing stories about this guy with 30 years in the industry who represented Chappelle, Louis C.K.,
my
favorite comedians.
He was going to manage Del Rey but got cold feet.
That's right. So I did that. And then before his, when I first moved to L.A., I was living in my aunt's garage. Just graduated college.
Right.
Skateboarded down L.A., living in her garage.
You skateboarded from San Diego to L.A.?
Santa Cruz to San Diego.
Yeah, you skateboarded the whole way.
Skateboarded the whole way.
Now,
just not with a backpack.
How do you do that? What route did you go? The 101?
We mixed it up. 101 was a lot of the way, but we had
two
side roads. I went with five other people.
Yeah.
Three of us finished.
Yeah.
So six started, three made the cut.
What kind of skateboard are you on? Are you on like a regular size or a
I was sponsored by two companies, Original Longboards and Rain Longboards.
Uh-huh.
Both amazing. If you're into longboards, they're just high quality boards. Thick wood that'll last a long time, high quality wheels. Anyway,
his longboard obviously is better for a long ride.
Oh
right?
Man, if I had to use a regular street skateboard, I would fuck you. I wouldn't do that.
Longboard,
you know?
bigger wheels.
More importantly than that, softer wheels. So you're going. A lot of these roads are gravelly.
Yeah.
When you're on it for literally, we were skating all day. So 8 hours a day we're on a skateboard.
Right.
If you're using these regular street skateboards with hard wheels, you feel every little bump in the road on your legs. So your legs would fall off.
Now, what makes you do this? Just a challenge?
A challenge, and I just kind of obsessed about things, and skateboarding happened to be my obsession at the time. Still is, but a little less so than before. But I skateboarded across Oregon to New York, and then I did Santa Cruz to San Diego.
Oregon to New York?
Yeah, that was even before that trip.
No!
Yeah, gnarly, right? But that one wasn't actually... It was actually harder skateboarding down California because when we went to New York, we had a car following us with all our shit.
Yeah.
The California one... No car, just back 30-pound backpack.
Oh, that's like a baby on your back.
Yeah, oh, and that thing is hard.
I used to ride a motorcycle, and I'd have a backpack, and...
Your shoulders,
yeah. An hour, right now, my shoulder's still fucked up from years of that. An hour in, you're like, I've got like a small child on my back.
Right.
That's what it's like.
It adds up. It adds up fast.
And it's just fucked.
Yeah, you take off your backpack at the end of the day, and you feel like an entirely new person.
Especially skateboarding, because you're using your body so that fucking... Well, on a motorcycle, at least you're just stationary.
Right.
But on a skateboard, you're using your body.
Oh, it was like relearning how to skate.
Oh,
because you're
God.
Just slower, everything about it, and you had to make everything as light as possible.
Now, wait, you skateboard from New York to Portland, Oregon?
From Oregon, Newport, Oregon to New York City.
What the fuck? How many days did that take?
Over a month. We were trying to break the world record.
What? Somebody had done that?
A few people have done it now. I think when we did, there were two other groups who had done it.
Wow.
Now, I think,
what was the record?
I believe the record was 23 days by Jack Smith.
What? And what do you
And he had done it four times.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Now, what's breaking on your board? Wheels or anything?
We went through everything at least once.
Uh-huh.
But everything could potentially last the whole way.
Yeah.
But one of our boards got ran over.
Whoa.
One of our wheels, we ran over like a little hunk of metal got stuck in the wheel.
Yeah.
I think bearings go through the most.
They get
dirty.
Are you on freeways?
Oh, yeah. That was really scary at first. We're skating on these freeways, cars just zooming past us.
Yeah.
You really have to... Eventually, you get used to it, and it feels like you're just skating. You ignore all the cars around you. But at first, you're just... Every car, you're like, holy fuck. And you feel like you're going to die.
And are cops not saying anything?
We got pulled over almost every day.
And what do you
cops.
Say? You're doing something
so I
for
said,
science?
I said, I'm doing this skateboard journey to raise money for homeless children in San Diego, which I was.
Yeah.
And usually, the cops would be like... Okay, you're crazy. If we keep getting calls about this, we're going to have to make you stop, but go ahead.
Wow.
And they'd just look at us like we were insane, but they'd be like, okay, if it's for charity, just go ahead.
Now, are you staying in hotels at
we
night?
We camped every night in campgrounds.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was fun, actually. You get there, you're tired, you start a little fire, and we're ready. We're so tired at the end of each day, we could sleep anywhere.
Right.
You know, it doesn't need to be a bed. We'll fall asleep on the side of the road.
Board?
Sometimes longer. We'd wake up 9 in the morning and skate till sundown.
Now, how many miles in a day, you think?
It depends.
It's 3,000 miles, right? Like 3,200?
It all depended, because some days you'd have really smooth roads.
Yeah.
You're smooth sailing, and some days you have uphill, gravel. So we would try to get at least 70 miles in a day on the cross-country one.
Right,
we would go
right.
anywhere from 70 to 150.
Wow.
And that was easy. We had no backpacks. But then on the California trip, we would it would be a lot less. So
right.
I think the most we ever did was 70. We averaged 40
How many
40
days for
to
California
50.
Trip?
2 weeks. That was 14 days.
2 weeks?
Santa Cruz,
you get
San Diego.
To New York in 30 days, but 2 weeks from Santa
Dude,
Cruz to LA.
A car following makes the most difference, because for one, you're completely light, so you have nothing on your back.
Yeah.
They have water stocked for you. At the end of the night when you want to sleep, we would drive to the campgrounds and drive back to where we left off.
Right.
Just if you make a wrong turn without a car, one time we skated 15 miles out of the way and we're like, fuck. So we had to skate the whole way back.
Are you using GPS?
We had our phones. We had our cell phones
right.
with GPS. So luckily, I had Sprint, someone else had Verizon, someone else had AT&T, so we'd have service pretty much wherever we
That's
went.
Cool. Now, we met early on, I don't know, maybe I'm 5 years in now.
2 years ago, I think we met about.
Yeah,
I moved out
ago.
Here 2 years ago, roughly, a little over 2 years
in
ago.
In 3 days, it'll be my 5-year anniversary. Well, December 7th.
That's wild,
Yeah,
man.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, you're doing, for 5 years in, I think you're doing more than anyone, right?
I don't
Who
know.
Who else 5 years
Gerard's
in?
Pretty,
is he only 5 years in?
I don't know. I think he might be maybe one more year in. I'm not sure.
You're doing as much, if not more. I mean, you're 5 years in, you're past at every, this is probably you've talked about on your podcast a hundred times, but you're past at every comedy club.
Yeah.
You're opening for giant names.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. Total
and you work so hard that it's all
It's
deserved.
So weird to think about, like, 5 years ago, I wasn't doing comedy.
Yeah.
At all.
Or 4 years ago, you're doing open mics.
Yeah.
And now tonight, you're doing the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, and the Improv all in one night.
All in one night. You're just like, wow, man. But we met, and the thing, you had a website, and I always ride you because you don't work it enough.
Yeah, I don't.
It's called Stand Up Talk.
Stand Up Talk, and it's like an online magazine / podcast network all about stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Now, there's some key things I did in my life. One was the Ari Shaffir podcast, then the Marin podcast, the Pete Holmes. They all really got me going. And also, though, your website at the time was up and running pretty fucking strong. A lot of people looking at it. You had a thing called, what was it?
Run the Light.
Run the Light.
It was just emailed questions. It was like an interview with comedians, but it was just simple. I would email them questions. I'd say, hey, if you don't mind, answer these questions, and we'd post them on the site.
And then you're featured on this internet magazine called Stand Up Talk, and I was on it, and I got a lot of fucking love from it, man, and it was just so cool. I thought, this guy's fucking great. I like to have guys on that work their ass off. I had Red Band on last week, that now I have you on. But guys, you have to understand how many times I hear, nothing's happening for me. How did you get it going? You've got stuff. It's like, you just fucking do it.
It's seriously what it is. It's like, and the reason why, like, a lot of, like, you and Jeremiah, our friend Jeremiah Watkins, you know, will say to me, like, hey, you need to be posting more. And it's, I know I do need to post. I should be posting every day, but it's like, I'm, first and foremost, I'm a stand-up comedian.
Absolutely.
And that's not really a good excuse, but that does take up a lot of time, just going out there, performing, writing, all that stuff. And that's kind of how you started. If something's not going for you, you can just do it. I mean, I moved out here, and I'm doing open mics. I'm living in my aunt's garage. And, you know, you could wait and do those open mics forever, and you could wait for someone to say, hey, you're funny, do a show. Or you could start a show.
Yeah.
Or you could start a comedy magazine.
Or a podcast.
Or a podcast.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, or a sketch group. And you could, because, I mean, you could write and perform all you want. You're going to have more free time to do a few other things, especially if you're not working a full-time job, which I wasn't.
Right.
So I was interning.
That was Barry Katz's big thing. You know what I mean? He's like, let's see how many hours you got in the day.
Right.
You're up about 15 hours, Dean. You do about 2 hours of comedy and open.
Yeah, he breaks it down hard. he'll rip into you.
He's all mathematical. Now, what are you doing for the other 9 hours, 34 minutes? And
yeah.
You're like, well, sleeping. Okay, I get it. Then what? Fucking around at your house, surfing the net, doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or he says to me, Ari, you're so smart. Why did you just tell a dick joke in this set?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, because I like dick jokes.
Yeah.
Ari, you're smart.
Yeah.
You don't need to do
it. Whenever someone says,
like,
it's a dick joke, I go, CK does dick jokes. And they're fucking great. So everybody does dick jokes, man.
Yeah,
it's
just
like, if you don't do a dick joke, it's almost like the audience is like, well, you didn't do a dick joke.
Right.
But anyway. So
but the point is,
you start this magazine.
Yeah.
And it has some traction.
It has a little bit of traction. We'd be doing these interviews, but we'd also, it was me and my friend Brad Sachs in the beginning. We'd also write these lists like, top 5 comics who crush in LA.
Yeah.
Top 10 dumb things too, like top 10 hottest female comedians. Just dumb things that we knew would catch the reader's eye.
Yeah, and people were on it.
Yeah.
You know, comics mostly would be like, man, I'm not in that top 10. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Who knows even what the magazine is?
It's right.
Right.
And we'd tweet it. So we'd do top 10 comics who crush in LA, and we'd tweet it at those comedians, and the ones who on it are stoked and retweet it. And you know, I obviously can't include everyone on there, and there's so many people, so many great comedians, and that's the hard part, is you get people too. I'd kind of taken my name completely off the site too. I don't want that many people. Everyone knows I run it. But there's some people who, yeah, they'll hate me without even ever meeting me. And it's like, sorry, I just hadn't seen you perform. I don't know who you are. Like,
how do you not include me in your top five of 2013?
Right. And it's kind of like the same thing when you run and produce a show.
Yeah.
If you run your own show, you're going to have comics who hate you because they've never performed on your show. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I don't know you. There's 3,000 comedians in L.A.
Yeah.
So I apologize. So it's hard because you get the haters. But yeah, you would tweet at the people you put on the list. They would retweet it. And then hopefully you get a lot of traffic. And since then, I've gained sponsorship. I've gotten met a lot of cool people through
this. How we met. And it's an excellent website when he keeps it going.
Yeah.
I mean, at one time I thought you could rival Split Cider, just keep fucking hammering it. But I get it.
Split Cider has writing staff and money, and it's like,
I get
it's hard.
So you're a comedian too at first, like you said.
Right.
So
but it's still everything I post, I don't post anything negative on the site. That's a rule I have that the other sites, because I'm a comedian and the other sites don't have that. You know, I don't post anything about Bill Cosby, and I'm not posting any gossip bullshit.
That's out there already.
Right. I'm posting what I like to post is positivity, but also content. So if I see an awesome video released by someone, I post that. If I see an awesome something that people
YouTube
can take more.
Yeah, YouTube videos, sketch videos,
stuff
you
like
put
that.
Up. I think it's a great spot because here I was not very known. And then, boom, you're on there, and some industry, you know, maybe clubs or whatever are looking at it. They're like, oh, this guy's in the top five of 2013. All right,
Know? Jason Collings told me, he's like, oh, my manager sent me that article. And I was like, oh, sweet, managers are looking at this?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Exactly. So it's really cool website. Make sure you guys check it out. So you got that going. You got your podcast.
My podcast, that's called Unlicensed Therapy.
Yeah, what's
and,
that about?
So I have guests on. I'd love to have you on. I don't know if you want. Not everyone wants to do it, though, because what I have is I have guests come in, and I start off each episode by saying I'm not a licensed therapist. I wasn't a psychology major in college. My friends don't even come to me for advice, but I care.
Yeah.
And then the guest comes on. They tell me about an issue in their life, and I give them advice on that issue.
Right.
And then, and then the next episode, I say what happened from the advice. So one comedian came on having relationship troubles. I wrote him a poem to send to his girlfriend from him. They ended up breaking up.
Yeah, yeah.
But why would he listen to me? I'm 25 years old. How could I possibly give advice?
Yeah, exactly.
That's,
right?
That's all. So it's fun. I have fun with it. And some of the comedians are getting really deep. They come on and out of nowhere, they'll get pretty emotional with their problems. It's fun.
Well, some people just need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
every
true.
Comedian, most comedians are pretty fucked up.
Yeah, you get out there and you're like fucking just banging your head into a concrete wall.
Yeah.
After a while, you go, fuck, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And it's sometimes that you might talk to the wrong guy and they go, hey, man, I was hanging with this guy. That guy's fucking whacked. Air your laundry out, man. You got to watch out.
There's things like
they're
that.
They use it as ammo on you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to have comedians who are going to talk and then be like, hey, can you not post that actually? Because I unleashed some deep stuff.
Let's see now. I wanted to get into, you got something coming up. I like you because you remind me a lot of myself when I was young, man. I was just fucking into, I still am. Just whatever happens, let's fucking do it. Adventure, skateboard across country. Look, I'm going to shoot my special where I ride across country.
That's so awesome.
You know what I mean? And I can't wait to do, I love doing shit like that. And you do too. It's awesome to just go, you're here one time.
Right.
That's fucking it, man.
Yeah, it's like you hear some comedians who are like, stand up and that's it.
Yeah.
And some people even look down on me for doing so many other things. It's like, I love stand up and I put just as much time into that as almost anybody. But I also love doing other things like skateboarding, like rock climbing, like camping, like technology and nerd stuff, like making websites and producing podcasts.
You ever go to Yosemite?
Love Yosemite.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was there a few months ago.
There's my Viewmaster up there, but we should go together and go up Half Dome.
I was just going to say I've always wanted to climb Half Dome.
Okay, so let's do that. We have to get online and get our passes now. You got to get...
Oh, that's right.
That's no biggie. That's
easy. Yeah, let's do it.
But let's go in like late May before it starts to get hot.
Right.
Right before I go on my trip. Hopefully I don't break it.
Yeah.
But let's do it.
Yeah,
because I did it young many times, and I have not done it in 30 years.
Oh, man, let's definitely
do that.
So
let's do that,
man. That would be epic.
Okay, so you're about to do something that's pretty fucking wild. You're going to be on the Man vs. Wild?
It's called...
what is it?
So I don't know that I'm 100% allowed to talk about this, so if you're listening, don't... I don't know.
Yeah, this
I'm
going
to put it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
we got nine listeners.
I talk about it on stage,
okay,
so
good.
Whatever. It's out there. But I just went through the screening process for the show Naked and Afraid on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Now, it's not 100% that I'm doing it, but it's looking good. I have a background. I've done a lot of that stuff that they're into. They liked me. It all went well. And if you don't watch the show, they take a guy and a girl. They drop them off in a remote location on the Earth for 21 days without clothes, without water, without food. So you have to survive off the land for 20. It's like a Survivor Man.
Right.
But with... random survivalists. So they're dropping me off with some girl I've never met.
Yeah. Your age girl or like an old granny with like bad body?
You know, they didn't. hopefully my age, but they didn't specify.
Yeah, because you don't want that person breaking down.
I've watched every episode so far, and they've been similar. It's on the Discovery Channel.
Okay.
It's the number one show on the Discovery Channel.
Wow. And are the people young on the episodes that you've seen?
It ranges.
Okay.
So some episodes are young, some they're old.
And where are they dropping them off at? Different spots?
All like? Over. So the jungle, rainforest, tropical islands, deserts.
And are these like weird survivalist people that are...
Everyone on there has some sort of survival background. So I went to a military high school.
Right.
I took survival classes there. I went to UC Santa Cruz right in the Redwood Forest, took survival classes there. I skateboarded across the country.
Aren't you immediately freezing at night, the first day?
It depends on the location. So a lot of places. So there's basically four elements of survival. Number one, water.
Yeah.
Human body can survive about 3 days without water.
Okay, 3 days?
3 days without water. But, I mean, that's 3 days of doing nothing. You're out there hiking around.
Yeah.
You need to find water.
Yeah.
Second one is shelter. Fire is the third. And food.
Right.
Now, you can survive 21 days without food.
Really?
Yeah. You'll lose 20 to 30 pounds. But in some of the episodes you watch, and they basically don't eat the whole time. They can't find food. They find little grubs here and there.
Whoa.
So that's my biggest fear.
Right.
Is that I'm going to be really hungry and lose a lot of weight.
Well, you get pretty delirious if you don't eat like one day.
Right.
Like, you know, and then into the second day, you go, fuck, I haven't eaten. You're all fucking, how do you even function after 5 days?
Yeah, that's definitely my biggest fear. My second biggest fear is probably just at night keeping warm. Because you'll see there's people on the show who've gotten hypothermia.
Yeah.
There's people who've gotten malaria.
Now, there's people 5 feet away filming you. You just got to throw up your jacket, right?
Well, yeah, I wish.
Do they tap out? Is that considered tapping out?
Yeah, if you tap out, which people have done on the show, you'll see people don't make their 21 days because of a medical emergency or they say, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
They tap out and that's it. You're pulled out of there, but you don't complete the challenge.
Do you get money if you make it the whole way? Or what's
they pay for your living expenses back here, so they'll pay my rent and stuff, but it's not for the money.
Wow, okay.
You do it for the challenge. You don't get a lot of money for doing the show.
Now, have any of the people fucked on the show?
That's so funny you say that. No one has that I have seen, and they would show it too.
Yeah.
If someone fucked on the show, this is in the end of the day, it's a reality TV show.
Right,
they're going to show that shit.
Right.
But by the end of day one, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're dehydrated, you're exhausted, you're dirty and smelly.
Yeah.
So it's really, at the end of day one, you're not thinking, how can I fuck this girl?
Right.
You're thinking, how can I find water? How can I get warm? So I haven't seen any
romance.
Well,
the one way of getting warm is with the chick.
I have seen people cuddling for body, but I have yet to see people. But I was thinking, how funny would it be if I was the first one to fuck and I get kicked off the show and they're like, what are you doing? Like, fuck too much.
They digital out the dick and stuff,
they blur out all... Yeah, you're completely blurred out.
Because I think I read somewhere where they didn't blur out this girl's body by accident.
For 5 seconds, they forgot to blur out a nipple. Yeah, it's crazy.
Come on, man.
But yeah, I've been talking about it on stage, how like there's someone's job is to go through every frame of that show and blur out my dick.
Yeah.
That's someone's job.
Now, do you audition naked?
No. And that's something they told me, too. They're like, we get all these crazy people sending us videos of them naked. We just want to make sure that you can survive out there.
Yeah.
So I sent them a video of me out starting a fire.
Naked?
A friction fire, clothed.
Oh, yeah.
Finding natural food, just different things, letting them know that I have the skills. I went in. I had to do blood work. I had to meet with a psychiatrist. I met with the producers. And one of the things they told me, they're like, just so you know, a lot of people think this is TV. We had one guy come out and we took him out there and he's like, okay, so when do I eat? And they're like, yeah, you have to find food. This is real. This is a real show. Yeah, he thought it was like a fake show. It's not fake.
He thought it was the Kardashians.
Yeah, yeah. But it's 100% real. So
I wish they had dropped the Kardashians out there.
That would be hilarious. Well, James Franco and Seth Rogen just did it.
Oh, they did?
Naked and Afraid. Yeah, I think it's airing this week.
James Franco is fucking
I don't know if that one's 100% real, but
I love that guy. Yeah, right? Like James Franco and who? Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen, yeah.
Wow.
On the same show. So I'm probably going to be in their next movie.
Wow.
No,
yeah, right?
No, that'd be awesome, though.
Now, what about your package? You got to have a pretty good-sized dick, right? Like,
I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah.
I was known as a guy in college where all my friends had seen my dick. Yeah, I was walked around the naked.
Whoever's got the big dick, everyone's seen it. It's like,
I don't care. Yeah.
You got the dick.
Yeah, they're going to be blurring out half the screen. No, they're not. No,
it's
but,
hilarious, though,
it's going
right?
to be cold, though. It's going to be all shriveled up. But luckily, they blur it out, so you won't know how big it is.
Wow. I would just be more concerned, like, my feet stepping in shit.
And, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Ah,
there's people
fuck.
Who step in thorns. That's a big thing. Someone got bit by a snake on their foot.
Oh.
And they had to leave.
Yeah.
One thing, though, is I'm going to do fine.
Yeah, I can't wait. Now, if you do it, when would it be? They don't do it in the winter, right?
So they said that it's going to be anywhere from 1 to 3 months. I'm going to get a call.
Oh, my God.
And they give you, like, a 2-week warning.
That's
gonna
be badass.
Of when you're
gonna
do it. It's gonna be wild. I'm a little nervous, obviously, but I'm more excited than anything else.
Yeah, you're cool. You know what kind of great bits you're gonna get out of that?
Oh
that
my gosh,
no one could steal
your
bits.
Dude, it's gonna be a 40-minute comedy special.
Yeah, who's
I'm gonna be
steal
saying
your bits like, hey, I was out doing a Naked Afraid. No, you weren't. That
no
was
one's
art.
Gonna steal that.
Now, one last thing I wanted to get into. You recently went to Australia to do comedy and meet a girl that you met online.
No, I didn't meet her online.
Okay.
So, remember that show we used to do at Hooters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that show.
So, Ari
used to do a show at Hooters upstairs, and it was...
right on Hollywood Boulevard. There
was
the Hollywood
great.
Hooters.
You just go up there and work new material.
Yeah, Sean Kelly from Storage Hunter started this room up there. He let me have a night, so I would have my friends come in, and we would just bark people in off the streets and perform for them. So it was really like a great workout room to just try new bits. Go up there one night, there's a girl in the audience.
Yeah, because it's all tourists.
It's all tourists.
Across the street from Man's Chinese Theater.
Yeah.
So it's loaded with ground zero tourists.
There's this beautiful girl in the audience. She's walking out of the show, and I'm like, I wish I could have talked to that girl. And my friend Terrell's like, well, why don't you talk to her? Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to chase her out. That's weird. He chased her for me.
Yeah.
And like forced us to awkwardly talk to each other. I ended up taking her to a Dodger game.
Wow.
Spending some time with her.
And she's out here on vacation.
Out here on vacation.
And
really
was
liking
she with
her.
Family or
she's
friends?
With one friend.
Uh-huh. Was the friend hot?
The friend was pretty as well, but I was into this girl.
Of course, but was anyone hooking up with her friend?
Her friend had a boyfriend back in Australia, and no one hooked. So, in fact, I was feeling bad because I didn't want to take her away from her friend.
Right, that's weird.
Yeah, like so we spent. We had a couple different dates, and then she went back to Australia. At that same time, there was an Australian comedian named Ben Darso, hilarious guy. He headlines all over Australia, completely unknown in the States. He was staying on my couch and doing gigs with me here.
Yeah.
So it was this perfect coincidence where he's like, hey, Ari, why don't I line up a bunch of gigs for you in Australia to pay for your trip or at least pay for part of it? And you can go see that girl for a few weeks and then do all these gigs. So I went out there, spent a couple of weeks with her.
Yeah.
And then I spent the next 3 weeks just doing stand-up every night in Australia.
That's
and it was
dope.
The best trip ever, man. Australia, I mean, here's the difference between LA and Australia. Australia, they pay you to perform.
Yeah. Like what kind of money?
As a complete unknown. And the other different thing there is I'm a feature.
Yeah.
And here, feature is the second best spot on the show.
Feature's the first guy?
In Australia, the MC is the second best spot, is the second highest paid because most headliners there also MC because they want their MC to be really strong and start off the show with really strong.
Right.
So because I was new, they said next time I come back, I could MC or headline.
Wow.
But because I was new, I was featuring. So each show was paying average $100, some more, some
that's
less.
Fucking cool.
But I did 15 shows.
$1,500.
So
how much was the flight?
So it basically paid for the flight there and back.
Fucking great.
And then I was staying on comedian spare rooms the whole time.
Wow.
So I was staying for free. Most of the clubs fed you and gave you drinks. So it cut a lot of the cost of that trip.
That's great.
I still didn't make money, but next time I go back, I'll make more. Met a lot. It's a smaller scene too.
There's Maybe next time you could skateboard the whole country.
I'll skateboard across Australia.
Naked. Yeah. Naked on a board doing comedy. Man.
The smallest show there was 80 people.
Wow.
You know, in L.A., you even if you're a major headliner most of the time, even if you're Dean Del Rey, you're sometimes doing rooms to work out new material with 20 people.
Absolutely.
Less, 10 people sometimes. So it was amazing to see the difference there.
Burr's going over there next month.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, he's going to love it.
He's just going to light that
people
country on
pay
fire.
To watch open mics there.
What?
I did one open mic there.
Yeah.
Everyone who was there to watch the open mic paid $5 to watch amateur comedy.
That's fucking
dope. That's the difference there. So you get paid. The shows are great. Yeah. The people are nice.
And you were there in the summer because it's the opposite.
I think it was there springtime.
Right. Exactly.
Beautiful weather. It was an amazing trip. And I'm going to go back
for
sure.
And how's it going with the lady?
We still talk. It was an amazing week there. And hopefully something happens with that. But, you know, it's tough when we live across...
Man, maybe you just move there and do comedy and be with her.
You know, I thought about that, but there's just so, you can get to a certain point there. Like my friend Ben.
I know. You hit the
ceiling.
He's
a headliner and you hit the ceiling and he's happy, but I have big goals, you know. I have big goals in
this
town.
You're like me, man.
So hopefully she'll move out here. Yeah, I got
you doing it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, man.
I hope that helped people on our little podcast school here. Check out AriManisStandUpTalk.com.
Yeah, or AriManis.com for all my dates.
AriManis.com. Yeah. Also, go see him live. What's your Twitter?
At AriManis. Real easy.
And if you guys are out there in the world and you want to check out all his videos on the podcast stuff, what equipment to buy and shit, go to the website. And also, just say hi to him on Twitter.
Yeah,
and follow
say what's
him.
Up.
Great guy. He fucking helps everyone in town. He's only 25. And people go to him, you know, when they need help on shit. So book him on a show out there or whatever and have him on.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
There you go, man. There he is. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We're going to go eat lunch, so see ya.